Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo wah.
Welcome to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. I am Chris Graham, and Jerry has lined up yet another celebrity all-star guest for us here on the podcast today. Jerry, welcome to your show, and bring in our guest, if you would.
Thank you, Chris. I've known this fella since he was 18 years old. Down at Tab High School. What a wonderful guy. I got to know him and Terry Kirby at the same time and become lifelong friends and have great admiration for both of them. And Chris is one of the best there ever came out of Virginia for sports writers because he's always been a wide open guy with and a great interview. And so without further ado, let's bring on this former Virginia All-American, All-Pro, and all-time good guy, Chris Lade. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, Jerry. Chris and Jerry, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to be in your presence, even if it's not in person, but just once again, reunite.
Well, thanks for giving us part of your time today. I know what your schedule's been like since you hit the ground running is joining the Virginia staff and you're back in Atlanta with your family for a little bit of time before having to head back to Charlottesville. So thanks for giving us some time. We talked to Tony the other day about the first 51 days of his era at Virginia and how hectic and whirlwindish it's been. What's it been like for you?
It hadn't been as hectic as for me as it's been for Tony. But it's been pretty well. It's been pretty nonstop. I've already been to California. I've been to Virginia. Been back to Atlanta twice. Been back to UVA. Three times in recruiting. Like I said, we did a 24-hour California trip. Tony and I. It's just been crazy busy. Like I haven't had a chance to really literally breathe. I've fallen asleep more times with the TV watching me than me watching the TV at night. But it's been fun. It's a transition for me, learning a lot as I go, just as seriously on the job training.
For the newbies that might not be familiar with Chris, he was an All-American defensive end at Virginia for George Welsh and was just an incredible force on that side of the ball. Later went on to play for the New England Patriots for a long time. Played for Bill Parcells. And I think you played for Belichick for 1 year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, Belichick, Bill Parcells for four, Belichick for two, and then Pete Carroll for three, all in New England. And then I had 1 year with George Seifert in Carolina. So I've had some pretty good football guys around me.
I'm starting to say, couple that with George Welsh, and you've played for some of the great coaches in football history, really.
And that's not slight, Charles Hovis either, my high school coach.
Exactly. Charlie was awesome.
He's gonna go way back, man. So yeah, I've been on a lot of good football minds, and you throw Coach Groh in that conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, so a lot of good football minds.
Yeah. A lot of people may not know this, but you still hold the ACC all-time quarterback sacks record. And that's something to be proud of because that's held up for a while now.
Yeah, since 92, my last season. There's been a couple guys have gotten close, but didn't break it. And I obviously when I see that someone's in the 20s and or the high 20s, late in the junior year, my antenna goes up. I start watching them, but it hadn't been broken yet. So I'm proud of that. It was a tough feat, 40 sacks in 4 years, man. That's hard to do.
I still remember that 6-sack day against NC State that you had at Scott Stadium. Who was that quarterback?
That was five against Virginia Tech. Well, yeah.
Okay. NC State. I thought you had 6 against State.
Nah, that was NC State. I had 4.5. I had 5 against that outfit up the street in 91.
Who was that quarterback?
At Virginia Tech that year? It was Will Fierro.
Okay. Yep. You ever run into him since then?
No, he's still – he's after that game, man, he got out of Dodge.
I don't blame him. We'll see you again.
Because he talked a lot of trash, Jerry, before that. The year before that, I don't know if you remember, they kicked our butt up in Blacksburg. And yes. I will never forget in the Roanoke Times or Times Dispatch, I think one either the tackle – no, Will had said, Slade never put a hand on me. And something like either he said it or the offensive lineman said it. And so I literally cut it out and put it on my dorm room wall, and I looked at it for the next 364 days. So I made sure when he came to Charlotte, it was going to be a little different the next year.
No trash talking that year. No,
it was a little different when they came to Charlotte for the next year.
Yeah. Imagine you did some trash talking that day.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Well, you were at Pace Academy private school in Atlanta for head coach for I think about a decade and won the state championship. You formed a relationship with Tony. He was trying to recruit some of your players. Didn't get any of them. So I think he told us the other day that when he came after you, he said, "Well, I've lost two of your guys at Pace, but he says, I got to have you. I can't go 0-3. Talk about the relationship you formed and what you think about him.
Tony's been great. You know, like I said, when he started recruiting a couple kids at Pace, this was probably 2014-13. So he was just a running back coach at the time. And I had just gotten on board as the head coach at Pace. So we were both kind of newbies starting off. Even though he had some college coaching experience, but not at the major college level like he was at Clemson. And of course, he was returning as an alum. And we just clicked and had a bond. And we would sit and talk. If he'd come visit during a recruiting trip for an hour, we'd talk 10 minutes football. The other 50 minutes, we'd talk about life and family and just anything other than football. So we just build that bond. And when the two kids he really recruited hard, Andrew Thomas, who went to Georgia, who ended up being the fourth pick of the draft to the Giants a couple of years ago, and then Jamari Sawyer, who ended up, starting at left tackle for Georgia and won a natty a couple of weeks ago, he recruited those guys pretty hard. And the way he handled them and the way he treated them and the way he was, even when they decided to go to Georgia, I knew he was a class act, and he was interested in those guys' well-being, not just getting those guys as football players. So, I think I told you this when he had his press conference. The day they beat Alabama in the national championship, the very next morning at 7:45, he's showing up at my school recruiting. He's been the same. You know, he hadn't changed a lick. I would text him the last few years after big wins or games. He's at Clemson. He'd text me right back. And a guy like sometimes those guys get too big for their britches and they don't remember – the high school coaches. I don't remember people that helped them and seen them come up through the ranks. And he's been the same, even more so now that I'm working for him. Same guy.
How did he recruit you?
Well, you know, I it's interesting because once I stepped down at Pace, he and I had some conversations and I had coincidentally stepped down and we talked and he thought, we had some conversations about, some former players and that would be good in the program to come back to work. Just what I thought about the program. Did I think he would be a good fit being a former player and an alum? So he was asking me questions, and I never thought about, of course I didn't think about the possibility of it, but I didn't pursue him. I mean, he just, asked me, he said, I want to use you in some capacity to help me figure this whole thing out in Charlottesville. I don't know if you're going to coach, if you're going to be a player personnel guy. We just talked about it. And I didn't give any more thought after that. Then he called me up a week or two later and he's like, hey, I want to offer you the job. So our conversations were more general at first. Just, I wanted to get his advice. He wanted my advice on UVA and the culture. And did I think he'd be a good fit? Would the alumni guys embrace him? How did he see himself fitting in Charlottesville? So that was our conversations. And then after we talked, I told him I stepped down from at Pace. I said, if the opportunity came up and you felt like I could help you in any capacity, I'd love to have a conversation. And that was it. And then he called me up a few weeks later, and that's how I ended up there.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The barn has been family owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's Big Time Steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630.
How long did it take you to accept?
A few days. I had to make sure that it was going to work, you know, with my kids being in Atlanta and then me being in Charlottesville, how's that transition going to look, how are we going to make it work. And then Talisa, she's been great so far, and we're making it work, you know, so far. You know, it's going to be hard in the fall, but I'm a college football coach. It is, that's part of the deal.
How excited are you to return to your alma mater as a coach?
You know, Jerry, I had to really think about, you know, am I coming back to UVA just because it's comfortable and I know the school and I want to coach football? And, you know, I'm not going back because I didn't come back because of that. I came back because I felt like this is the right time. Tony would be a great guy to work with and work for. And so this all kind of happened. I'm excited about being back and getting the program. You know, I'm not even going to say it's at its worst, but, you know, we got to recruit better, which is something that we started to do. I don't think that's a secret. You know, we've only won 10, Jerry, you know this, in the history of the football program, we've only had one season we had won 10 games. And that was my true freshman year. And so I think that's absurd with all the players we've had come through this program, you know, and Tony at 11 straight years where they won 10 games or more. And we've only done it one time in the school history. So that kind of stuff I take personal, you know, and I want to be a part of something special. I want to be a part of getting back here and getting us to that next level, back to when we're consistently, you know, embarking on a possible 10-win season or get 10 wins or more than 10 wins. So I'm back for one reason, a couple of reasons. One is I want to compete. I want us to win. And I want to just continue to help young men flourish and get to their next goals. In high school, I want to see the guys go to college. Now, those guys who want to mature as young men, well, men, and go to the NFL, I want to be able to help them prepare and get those guys where they want to be, like, you know, like those guys there for me.
You mentioned that Tony asked you if the former players would be excited about him and the new regime. What kind of feedback have you gotten from some of your former teammates or even other players that you've met throughout the years from Virginia?
Well, you know, we got two on staff with Clint and Biscuit. They're excited. And then I've talked to some other guys who – I got a lot of text messages. People are just excited. They know about Tony's pedigree, and they've had a chance to talk to him. We got a big Zoom meeting next week with Tony on there with a bunch of alum, all the alum. So that'll be interesting. So that'll be one of those troop serum Zoom meetings where everybody's going to get a chance to voice their opinion and complain and criticize and compliment and all those good things. So that'll be a big – ask me next week, Jerry. I'll tell you what they're saying.
I'll do that. You touched on this a little bit, and so did Tony the other day when he had a Zoom with the media. He told us a story about when he was at South – you may have heard this before. His first recruiting trip when he was at South Carolina State, they sent him out solo. He walked into the school and – not knowing what to expect and was all excited. Young coach, first recruiting visit. He got dressed down by the head coach at the school because there had been some bad blood prior to Tony coming on, and he wasn't aware of it. So he had to sit there and take it. He said, when we went down to the beach on recruiting trips, he said, I was smart. He said, I sent Slade and Marcus in ahead of me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Marcus and I, we know that 757 pretty well.
But what kind of he said you guys got great receptions everywhere you went.
Awesome. They were like, you know, coaches are excited to see us. Where have you guys been? You know, you guys hadn't recruited hard. You know, you hadn't recruited 7-5, and you know, just excitement. You know, I get it. You know, you're not going to get every top player in the state of Georgia. I mean, in the state of Virginia, that's you're just not going to. But we need to get more, and there's enough. And this is not enough. There's a lot in this state that need to come to Charlottesville.
Yeah, I did a little research this afternoon, so I was going to write a story about it. I asked Tony about it the other day. Because a lot of former UVA players who live in the 757 have been very frustrated over the past 5 years that Virginia has essentially raised a white flag and hasn't recruited the 757. And I looked back, and since the class of 2017, Virginia has signed three players since 2017 from 757. One of those guys is a stretch because he's from Williamsburg.
Right.
And one of those guys is no longer on the roster. So Ben Smiley is really the only one.
Yep, from Virginia Beach.
From in the last 6 years from the 757. That blew my mind.
I know. I got you, sweet. I get you. And that's the thing that we have to do better. I mean, we have to do a better job of recruiting the 757. And that's why we want to make sure we get our footprint down there and recruit the 757 hard. And between Biscuit and I, and hopefully Coach Eller will be able to make his stops and runs in whenever he can within the rules, we're going to hit it. You know, we're going to invade it.
What one of the high school coaches down there told you about, you know, what are they – puzzled, frustrated?
Yeah. I mean, more puzzled, a little bit of frustration. And I was watching Ohio State. Of course, it's not the 757, but I was watching Ohio State Michigan game, and the running back Henderson. And there was yes. And the commentator was like, oh, yeah, he's from Richmond, Virginia. And I immediately looked at my computer, and I was like, what high school? And they're like, oh, well. I said, that dude's 45 minutes from Charlottesville. I said, we can't even get him on campus. You know, I mean, we're in a new era, but it is frustrating, and we have done a lot of damage control. I just think the old regime, you know, they had to get the religious base thing came obviously played into it. There were Mormons. So I think Bronco, I don't think he did. He went out West Coast and recruited those kids that fit the culture, what he was looking for. Jerry, you know this. It's hard to get a kid from Warwick High School if you're a Mormon. I mean, you know, or it is what it is. You know, Phoebus, you know, Hampton High School, Kickatan. It's just a different deal. Obviously Bronco was extremely successful out west at BYU because that was all the kids that wanted to go to BYU as a destination place. You know, if you were Mormon, if you wanted to go to a Mormon school that had a good football program, you're going to BYU. Right. You know, if you're Catholic, you know, you want to go to good school, you're going to Boston College or Notre Dame, you know. Mm-hmm. So and they don't obviously take other kids too, but that's a big deal. If you're a Catholic kid, you're going to Boston College or Notre Dame. It helps. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, over that same span, when Virginia signed three players in 6 years from Tidewater, they signed two from Germany and at least three from Hawaii in one class.
If Tony wants to send me on a trip, send me out there
to Hawaii.
I'll go out there for a week. I don't know. I'll go for a week.
Only if I can go with you, like Danny Wilmer used to take me on recruiting trips with him. Exactly. Chris had an interesting statistic too that he about recruiting the state of Virginia. What was that statistic? Yeah. Chris?
61 four or five star players from the state of Virginia, the last six recruiting classes. Virginia got two of them. In the last six recruiting classes dating back to 2017, including this year, there were 61 four or five star players from the state of Virginia. Virginia got we got two of them.
Damn, that's it.
That's it. Two. Ohio State, Clemson, North Carolina got more this year than we got in the last 6 years.
Holy cow, the last six recruiting classes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to change. Yeah, that's going to change.
Virginia fans will be delighted to hear that.
Yeah. We're going to fix that.
I can't let you slide on this one. Tony was – somebody asked him what it was like, what he learned about his assistant coaches on all these recruiting trips. And he said that you learn who will let you eat, stuff like that. You know, some people want to stay real on a really tight schedule. We got to be at this school at 1 o'clock, this school at 1:45, this school at 2:30, no time to stop and eat. He said one guy had biscuits for me and he had, turned out it was Sinem.
Yeah.
Had the car warmed up, had biscuits in the back. And we asked him, and he said, you also learn who you'll let drive and who you won't let drive. you're giggling, so you might know the answer.
I already know what he's going to say. If you tell you about a Virginia Beach story.
He just said he would, if you're on the visit in the car, that he's driving, not you. I tried to defend you because I said it's probably because you're driving in that crazy Atlanta traffic. But
thank you. So I'm always on the offense. Exactly.
Tell us the story.
I think he's, well, I'm pretty sure he's referring to a late night in Virginia Beach, going on one of those overpass, and I went out of the lane a little bit, and you know, the boss had me driving for like 6 or 7 hours that day. So I was a little tired, and yeah, I kind of went off a little bit, woke him up, and the French fries went flying and all that. But we made it to the waterfront. Okay, though. Yep, exactly.
Well, you get a chance to take a shot back. What have you learned about him on these recruiting trips?
He likes to eat. Tony likes to eat, and he doesn't mind stopping to eat. He likes to eat, and he is a talker too. He can talk. I thought I could talk. He can talk. Yeah. So when we get in that car, man, it's like this. Well, it's like this, and I'm like just driving and listening. But he can talk. Yeah.
Waffle House or
wherever he gets his hands on, he's eating.
All right. At least you got a chance to reciprocate there a little bit.
You know, he's not one of those head coaches that so far now I can see he gets down to our level, if you will. Like some head coaches walk around and, you know, they let you know you're the assistants and he's the head coach because they tell you that, or they just kind of have an air about him. And I don't sense that. At the end of the day, obviously he's going to make all the defined decisions and we know he's in charge, but he's so humble. We went to California. And he would not let me drive. I was like, man, go be a head coach. Let me drive. You sit over in the passenger seat. He's like, no, I'm going to drive. You talk to your kids on the phone or whatever. So, you know, you just don't get that a lot of time from head coaches. They just plop in the passenger seat. And they're just assuming you're going to always drive around for these recruiting trips. But he drove all around California, you know. And so that's just a sign of him being humble and understanding that we're all in this together. And you know, you got to be able to delegate. I mean, being a former head coach for 10 years, there's certain things you want done a certain way, and you demand that and you expect that from your staff. But you also got to delegate and get opinions and ask questions and be able to take constructive criticism and be open to it.
I know you want to get up with your kids because you only have limited time to see them on your trip back home. I'm going to ask you one more thing. One of the big challenges, I guess, for you and your defensive fellow defensive coaches is to try to whip this defense into something representative out there on the field. Virginia was one of the worst defenses in the country this past year, particularly in giving up big plays and chunks of yardage. What do you see as the big challenge ahead of you and the other defensive coaches in trying to put a good product out on the field this fall? It's going to be tough, I would imagine.
Yeah, Jerry, you know, when I watched us play the last years, you know, I just didn't see any dudes. You know, we had no guys that could make plays. And, you know, we've always had a defensive lineman or somebody in the front seven that can change the complexity of the game in one play. I haven't seen that in years. And so we got to get bigger up front. We got to get stouter. So obviously, like everybody else, looking for length and size, especially on the edges. But you know, I tell you, Coach Rudd is gonna really. I think he's gonna be great for our defense. He has a lot of good stuff. He did a great, you know, they're guy, those guys at Air Force always played hard. You go back and watch them. And he'll be able to have, I think, with no disrespect to Air Force, but I mean, he'll have probably a little more talented athletes that he can to work with. We just got to get those guys to play at the level of the Air Force players with effort and desire and want to. I think we'll be okay. Got to get guys. I don't care who you got on the sideline coaching. You got to have players. Coaches, I mean, players make the coaches a whole lot better.
I'll never forget Bear Bryant told me one time, this is going way back. He said, talking about how important recruiting is, he said, "Son, did you ever see a jackass win the Kentucky Derby?"
That's right. Exactly right. You got to have folks. You got to have some dudes.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Thank you for spending part of your day with us, man. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime, Jerry. I'll see you up in the Ville.
Yeah. We'll go out and grab a burger somewhere. And
let's do it.
Be safe.
All right, Chris, thank you for having me on.
All right. We'll see you soon, brother.
Thanks, guys.